they've raised their hand and say, yeah, I'm really interested in eBay stuff, then you've segmented your list right there.
So then are they on two lists? Are they on your master list plus an eBay list?
Exactly.
So if you send out a generic email, or I shouldn't say generic email, but an email that would be for your 12,000 list, that they would get that one, but you would not send that same generic list or that same generic email to your eBay list. That would
eBay. No, I would definitely send it to all 12,000.
Yeah.
But then let's say I had a specific. This is the real power of segmenting your list. Let's say you had a report about eBay, and you thought it was a really good report that you wanted to sell. I would test it with the eBay list first because they raised their hand and said, I'm really interested in eBay stuff.
Okay, yeah.
And if it doesn't sell well with that eBay list, then you don't roll it out to your bigger list.
Okay.
You know, so let's say I've got 3,500 people who are interested in eBay, and I had this, somebody else wrote a report, I wanted to see how well it would sell, I set up my affiliate link, I sent it to my eBay list only. And if it didn't sell, I'd drop it right there.
Okay.
Now, if it sold really well, then I would go to the big list and I'd say, look, I've already announced this to my, you know, people who especially said that they are interested in eBay stuff, and they're eating it up like crazy. They love this stuff. And if they think it's really good, it's got to be good. So here, you know, here it is. You better take a look at it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So it's a real testing ground then as well.
It's a great testing ground because you can test specific offers there, and if it doesn't fly there, it's not gonna fly with the rest of your list.
So you save a lot of time and energy if you can just scrap it first.
Exactly, and you save a bit of your credibility as well, because if you announce an untried, unproven product to your greater list and it's junk, and nobody really buys it, then they're gonna say the next time you come out with an offer for another book or a report, they say, I wonder if this is any good, you know, because the last one turned out to be crap.
Right, yeah.
So if you can test it and you can tell your eBay list or whatever segmented list that you have, you know, this is really kind of a test. I want to know if you guys are interested. And then tell me, you know, is it good? Is it bad? What is it? I read it. I think it's pretty good, but I want your opinion. And you send it to your eBay list. And that's what segmenting your list and the power of that is all about, because it's a test ground. It's a way to find out if, you know, the product is going to fly with your bigger list.
Excellent. Other than the testing, like we're just talking about now, how is the fastest way that you can make sales?
The fastest way to make sales?
Fastest way. You've developed your list. Now, how can you actually turn that list into dollars?
Well, if you do have a list and you've developed some sort of relationship with them, I mean, that is a prerequisite. You've got to develop a personality. You've got to develop some sort of relationship with your list. You know, when somebody subscribes to your list for the first time, they really don't know who you are, and you need to reveal yourself a little bit. You know, throw in some personal details: the fact that you have children, you know, the fact that you know, you live in a certain area and you have neighbors, and you know, as long as they know that you're a real person. And over time, you know, they'll begin to see that you are a real person and you can develop a relationship with them. Once you've done that, you've set the groundwork, then you find really excellent products that or develop those products yourself and simply send out a message to your list saying that this is available. And 99% of the time, I will buy the product if I'm promoting it as an affiliate before I send it out to my list, because I want to know for sure if it's good or not.
Excellent.
And, you know, in the course, I give you examples of emails that I sent out that have generated fantastic responses for me.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, you can model yours on those. And all it takes is a single email. You send it out to your list, and money starts rolling in.
So how long?
And a lot of people, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, you were finished there.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, a lot of people, I think I had a comment on my private site once that, you know, you never send out an offer on the weekend. But I have found sometimes that weekend offers are the strongest pulling offers. I have lately been sending out a lot of offers on Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Now, can you imagine Friday night? Most marketers would leave Friday nights alone because they know people are getting out of work. They're not going to be at their computers. They're going to be out, you know, going out to dinner with their spouse or their kids. They're going to spend time at home with their families. But I will send out announcements of a product ending, let's say, Sunday night. I'll give it a deadline of Sunday night and announce it on Friday. And the last one I did generated $12,300 in sales.
Wow.
On a weekend.
So it's really a matter of testing your list to find out what works best.
Absolutely. And don't judge your response by the time of day or the weekend or what day of the week that you send it out on, because you really can never tell.
But the
point is that this person made a comment about never sending out an offer on a weekend. And if you believe that's true, you're leaving a lot of profits on the table.
Right, yeah. So it's really a matter of testing your own list.
Absolutely. And it's not just a matter of testing, you know, testing about anything. It's a matter of testing things that people say are not true.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost going against the grain and saying and doing what's not popular.
Yeah.
You can find a lot of opportunities doing that.
So how many times a week would you actually mail your list?
5 to 6.
That many?
That many, yep.
So if you're mailing then 5 to 6
sometimes
times.
10 to 12.
That's a lot. You receive 5 to 10 emails from you each day.
Not each day, but a week, yeah.
How long would it take?
I had one guy, it was kind of funny, I had one guy say, I've got, you know, 7 emails from you today. And I said, no, I only sent out one, but I sent one every day for the last 7 days. So it must have been the first time he's checked his email box in a week.
In a week, yeah, exactly.
So he's got 7 emails from me.
And he figures they came in one day.
Right, exactly.
So how long would it take then if you're mailing approximately once a day? How long would it take to build up a relationship with somebody? You had mentioned the first thing you need to do is build up the relationship and build up the trust.
Yeah.
First, I tell people who I am. I've got some kids. I live in this part of the country. At what point do I start to sell to that list?
I would say if you're starting a new list from scratch, probably anywhere from 15 to 20 days.
Okay.
And then, you know, at that point, once you have a base of subscribers of 1,000 or more, then you can start sending out, you know, regular offers on a regular basis. If your list is still young and you just started it and you have, you know, 1,000 subscribers or less, you know, I would only send out maybe one or two offers a week until they get used to you. And then at some point, you know, where you're getting, you know, 10, 15 new subscribers a day, you don't have to worry too much about developing a relationship with them. But see, the way I've developed my list, people already kind of know me because of the writings that I've created,
right,
in the books and reports. They read those first, so they already feel like they kind of know me. So I don't have to do as much warm-up as maybe some other marketers might have to do.
Right.
If they're starting a list from scratch and you don't know who they are, you know, the subscriber doesn't know who they are. So it depends on what kind of marketing you're doing.
Okay.
For me, I'm getting 50 to 100 new subscribers every day, so I don't worry too much about warming them up. They just become part of my list. And one of the real keys of developing a relationship, though, with your subscribers is responding to individual people's emails.
Uh-huh.
And this does take this. I mean, I talked about maybe doing two and a half hours a day worth of work on my business, and the rest is pretty much on autopilot. But I also spend actually probably another 45 minutes a day just going over my email boxes and trying to find emails from people who are asking me questions about my products, my services, or my website.
Right.
And personally responding to each one of those. I know that there's some that I miss, but this is a way that you develop a relationship with your subscribers is, you know, actually responding to them.
Yeah.
I've sent emails to other internet marketers. I never got a response.
Uh-huh.
And I'm somebody in the business.
Yeah.
You know, and and I bet they get a lot of questions from subscribers that are just starting out or are new. And I actually sit down and respond personally to each one.
And that probably makes a huge difference to those people.
It does. It does. And I, you know, I've had people say, wow, gee, I sent emails to this guy and that guy and that guy and that big and that internet marketer and that guy, and you're the only one that responded to me.
Yeah.
And I've created a friend there and a relationship that will probably last a very long time.
Exactly. So the relationships and building that level of trust is really an important step before you even make the sale.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, it's very important.
Because the people that are, like you said, that are subscribing to your list now actually already have a relationship or started to build a relationship with you because they've read what you've written before.
That's right.
So you're already marketing to a somewhat warm market before they even get on your list.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. How do you end up cutting through all the clutter? I mean, everybody opens their email box now, and it's so cluttered. How do you get your emails through to people or get people's attention?
That is very, very difficult. And I guess the answer to that is the fact that I have built up relationships with people so that they are more receptive when they see my name come through on the, you know, as the sender of the email.
Right.
You know, so that helps.
Okay.
The other thing that I do is when people first subscribe to my list, I ask them to immediately take a few seconds to whitelist my domain name that I'm sending the email to them from.
Right.
And the easy way that they can do that is to simply bookmark or to add my email address to their address book in their email client.
Right.
There's a couple other ways you can do that. With AOL, they have specific steps that you can, I think you can right-click on an email in the in their email client and say, you know, whitelist this or add to my address book or always receive mail from this sender.
Okay,
or something to that effect.
Well, that's good. So then they actually go through, instead of reading the subject, they probably go through and look at who sent it and then
that's
just
right.
Go right to your, oh, that's perfect. How do you end up in your emails when you're writing the actual content? How do you balance your writing so that you balance logic and emotion? I find sometimes the emails you get from people have a little bit too much emotion. They almost come off as like a hype-ish type email. But how do you balance yours?
Well, I mean, people buy for emotional reasons, mm-hmm. And then they justify those logically. So what I like to do in each one of the emails that I write, especially when I'm promoting a product, is to give them, you know, get them really excited about it, but in a non-hypey way by mentioning the huge benefit that they're going to receive, you know, when they purchase the product. But then I also give them every logical justification. You know, it's going to save them money over you know, a period of time, it's going to save their time, it's going to, you know, it has, you know, it's a, if it was a software program, I'd say, you know, it's a small size, how large it is, how easy it is to use, the reviews that people gave it, things like that. So you want to be able to get them excited about it, because in the way you get them excited is by finding the huge benefit to them. But then also make sure that you include enough information so that they can justify that purchase later on with a lot of facts and details about the program itself.
Okay. So how do you kind of decipher then between what's a need and what's a want?
Well, you know, there's a lot of things that people need. They need water to drink. They need air to breathe. Other than that, everything else is pretty much a want. I mean, nobody really needs a 4,000-square-foot house.
Yeah.
Or nobody needs, you know, a brand-new BMW 730i.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, those are all wants. Almost everything besides your basic human needs, air, shelter, and water, is a want, you know. And... So, I mean, unless you're selling water or you're selling air or something else, you better appeal to their wants.
And that's where the emotion side comes in.
Yeah, that's where the emotions come in,
okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And one way to justify the logic of your piece, and I've used this very successfully, and I put this in the course, is that when I send out an email about a particular product and it has some really excellent testimonials on the website that's selling the product,
uh-huh.
I'll cut and paste some of those testimonials right into my email. And I'll say, hey, look what Jim Daniels is saying about this, or look what this internet marketer is saying about this. And and people who are reading the email at the time are going to say, if he is recommending this, it must be pretty good.
Okay. Well, that's an interesting concept as well.
Yeah. Use the testimonials right in the email. It's been very effective.
So when you're writing the email, then are you actually selling the product right in the email, or are you just trying to get people to go to a website and the website sells the email sells the product?
Generally speaking, I want people just to be curious enough to be pre-sold on the product, to go there in a receptive mood,
okay.
and then let the sales page do the selling. I don't really want to do too much selling of the product right in the email. I found that if I give them too much information or I make the email too long, and then they go to a very long sales page about the product, I decrease response dramatically. If I give them enough information or I pick out one or two huge benefits from the sales letter, I write around that huge benefit in my email and try to write about it as succinctly as possible. And then, get them excited enough to click through to the website so that the website can actually do the sales job.
So are you then, in the email, you would try and keep it small, a small
amount of
copy?
I would try to keep it as short as possible, yeah.
Okay. And then when they get to the website, what's your opinion on that? Small, again, short copy or long copy on a website?
It depends on the product that you're selling. Normally, if you're selling a $500 product, you better have a nice long sales letter with as much detail as possible.
Okay.
If you're selling a $29 book, you could probably get away with fewer details. But I would try to put some excerpts from the book in it. A lot of people do not do that, and
right.
I think that's a mistake. I think you need to put some reassurance on the web page that, hey, there's some terrific content in this book. And the one way that you can do that is by taking parts of the book out and quoting them on the website.
Okay.
But you don't need as much copy, but you do need to reassure people that it is, in fact, an excellent product. So give them previews of the book.
So would you do that instead of having a pop-up window that would give them two free chapters?
You can do that. Oh, that, yeah, absolutely. I would do both, though.
Okay.
I would definitely do both.
Oh, that's cool. So when you're writing your emails then, do you have a specific formula that you use when you're writing your emails?
I do have a formula that I use on a regular basis, I think, that works out pretty well. And that is, I always start off the email with some really interesting facts or information related to the type of product that I'm going to be promoting.
Uh-huh.
And I think we talked about this in an earlier interview. It's something that Jonathan Mizell calls a slippery slope.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you draw people into the email by including some really interesting facts or something that draws them into the beginning of the email so they start reading, and give them a story or give them something that just kind of draws them into the email. And then eventually what you do is, after you've drawn them in, you've told them a story. People love to read stories, so stories are probably one of the best ways to generate readership for your emails. And then present a problem that you might have had. For example, in the story, you could say what kind of a problem you had online, you wanted to try to solve the problem, and then tell them that you also found a solution, and this is a solution to the problem that you had. And that's where your pitch to the product comes in.
Okay, so very much a problem-solution formula.
Absolutely, or a story of something that happened to you, and here's what happened, and all of a sudden you found this, and this is a terrific product, and they should take a look at it.
Okay, when it comes to the technical side of things for the email, how long do you generally write your sentences and your paragraphs?
Normally, I try to keep the first paragraph under 3 lines.
Okay.
Each line after that, probably 2 lines to 3 lines at the most. You want to break up your copy and your writing into short, bite-sized paragraphs and sentences and phrases. You know, don't make it too hard to read. If you've got long sentences, run-on sentences in there, you know, it's going to be much harder for people to actually get through the email. And also, one thing that you want to do is, you know, there are so many characters in each line that you can write your email. A normal email maybe is 75 characters wide.
Uh-huh.
You might want to shorten that down to 50 or 55 so people don't have to read it long across the page.
Okay.
You know, it makes it a little bit for quicker reading.
And what about your numbers? When you're doing numbers, do you use the actual number or do you write out the word?
It depends. If it's less than five, I would write out the word. If it's five or more, then I would use the number.
Okay, why is that?
Only because I think it's easier to read if it's five or less. If you actually write out the word, if it was a dollar, if you're talking about dollars, I would write out a dollar sign plus the number itself and not the word.
Right.
But if it's a number like there's only five copies left or there's six copies left or something like that, I would definitely put the number in it.
Okay.
But if you're writing like, oh, I don't know, three out of five people said, you know, this was a great product, then I might use the word instead of the numbers. But it depends on what you're writing, I suppose.
Okay.
Proper English would say that you would write out the word rather than the number.
Right.
But in some cases, proper English doesn't make good marketing copy.
No, that's what I found, that a lot of the rules that you learn in English class in school do not apply to websites or email.
Not at all.
A totally different world.
It depends on what looks good from a marketing standpoint. I mean, you know, you try to make it as clear as possible, or you try to make it stand out, then you have to do whatever you can to make it stand out and make it easier to read.